Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast. I'm Brian Dunn.
And I'm Robert Hookman Jr.
Yes, and we are here to talk about the success of Spillers number 6, Robert.
We are indeed. Spillers number 6, another fantastic night here at the Crescent Ballroom.
Yes, it was.
And now we're hiding in the very strange green room with all of the unusual art.
It is very strange. We're kind of squirreled away back here.
We comment on this frequently, as do our guests.
Yes, and speaking of guests, one of the persons who made tonight so special with her reading is Kalani Pickhart. She read her short story 16, maybe less. It was very, very well received. The crowd really loved it, and she's our guest right now. Kalani, thanks for being a guest on the podcast with us.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Well, yeah, no. Absolutely. We're happy to have you, and we loved your story, and that's why we accepted it. And as I mentioned when I introduced you, it's your first official publishing credit, is it not?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
This is my first.
So how bizarre is this?
How bizarre is it?
Your first publishing credit, and you had to get up on stage and read it.
And now you're doing this.
Yeah,
do a weird podcast.
I feel like it's probably a lot more work than other journals. But I'm happy for it, you know. So it's cool. It's really exciting. I mean, I saw Catherine Hill, and Mike McNally, and so they're just awesome people. And so Jenny was excited to do it and stuff, and so I'm just glad to have been to follow that up too, so it's awesome.
Yeah. Jenny highly recommended you. That's how we found you.
Oh, it's great.
So yeah, Mike McNally recommended Jenny.
Jenny recommended.
Yes.
See how that works?
Train,
we're
yeah.
just following the MFA train.
We definitely are.
Good people. And then I've listened to Leah Reed and everything too, so she's amazing. And Joel too.
And
so,
Joel as well. Yeah, we love all of their work.
Yeah, we've got a lot of.
Yeah. Oh my God. And they all say incredible things about each other.
Yes.
I'm just remembering like what Leah said about Catherine. Catherine said about Mike.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A hell of a lot of mutual respect there.
There certainly is.
So rumor has it you have a rejected wall where you post all of your rejection emails, and an acceptance wall with it,
which now has one. Yeah. So tell us about this wall.
The wall is I kind of, you know, it's so daunting to begin to submit your work, and I just needed, you know, instead of getting sort of bummed out by it, you know what I mean? It was something that, like, whenever I'd get a rejection in the mail or the email, I'd be like, yes, like, time to put it on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
own that.
You know, and
the badge of honor.
Yeah,
moment.
Yeah, and there's a Sylvia Plath quote on the wall that's, you know, I like my rejection strips, like, the slips, they tell me that I try. And so that was really, that's something that, like, when I look up there, you know, that's kind of motivates me as well. So, and yeah. Then it was really cool to, you know, I think I got like a couple more rejections, like after I got the acceptance to Spillers. And so I was like, you know what, I need an acceptance wall now too. So, so that's how that started. But yeah, so it's cool. And I also work at the college. I work at ASU, and there's a lot of undergrads that come in and they're first year students. And, you know, I could have done that at home, but I wanted to do it in my office, where a lot of undergraduates kind of like cycle through, and then they can see it and be like, hey, arts, first of all, arts are important. And second of all, like, it's okay to fail, and it will make you better. It'll make you better. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to.
And it says that you try.
Yeah. It does.
So thanks to Sylvia Plath for that.
Yeah. Sentence. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says here, I'm noticing, Brian does a lot of research before this interview.
Oh, cool. Wow.
I do. These are all of your notes, Kalani.
He whips up a whole bullet list of notes,
lovely.
Little tidbits he's discovered about writers.
So
and then
great.
What we don't do is show them to the people we're interviewing.
That's great.
So.
I don't have my glasses on, so I can't read it. It's
oh,
fine.
Perfect.
So all of these questions just get sprung on people. So, but it says here that you are a big Boston Red Sox fan.
I am. I don't know how many people know that. I guess that's so funny.
How do you know that?
It was all over the internet.
Yeah, probably Twitter. That's where I.
Yeah.
That's where I let the Boston Red Sox side of me out. Yeah, I am. My partner of like 4 years is from Connecticut, and so I kind of just got into. I never really was into sports, and my dad super was like football and everything like that, but. I went to a Red Sox Angels game in LA, And I honestly loved the fans, like, because they were so, like, ridiculously passionate, you know what I mean? And yeah. So the past, like, few years, we've gone to Boston, and I love it. It's not just baseball there, you know, so it's really part of the...
It's religion there.
It is, yeah. It's the cathedral, yes, yeah. Fenway Park, yeah.
I've spent probably in total a few months in Boston, off and on.
Oh, that's such a great
and I've
city.
Never actually been in Fenway, but just standing near the wall is a seismic enough experience.
I cried, like, the first time. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, it was super great. The first time I was in Fenway Park, there was actually, like, a tornado warning, so they had us down in, like, the belly of Fenway Park, and we're like, why the hell aren't we, like, getting out, you know? And, like, you know, I'm like, I want to see it. And so, but there was this weird tornado warning, and so there was actually, like, a cyclone, like, above us and stuff, and so then they let us out, and you know, 5 minutes later, because that's how New England weather is, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. go about your day.
They say, if you don't like the weather in New England, wait five minutes.
Yeah, it'll change.
Exactly.
I feel like that about monsoon season here.
It's true. No, yeah. There's a certain time. It's like clockwork, you know, like, at the end of the day, it just starts up and then it's gone. So
that's too funny. Yeah. But you've embraced the Boston Red Sox to the point where you have named your cat after Carl Yastrzemski.
Yes. Oh,
your
man.
Cat's name is Yaz.
Yeah, he's an amazing cat. I could talk forever about my cat, but I won't.
You can.
No, it's okay.
It turns into the cat podcast.
No, we were trying to cycle through names for him, and you know, he's kind of a crazy cat. He can fetch, he plays tag. Like, he's a weirdo. And Yaz not only just seemed like, there's a birth control also, Yaz. So,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Yeah, so this was also very weird. I'm like, if I name my cat Yaz, are people going to think of the birth control?
the
are they
going to
think
control.
Of Carl Yastrzemski? Yeah, so.
Wait, isn't that one of those birth control methods that now you see, like, those ads on television that say if he's been injured?
Yeah, it's.
By using Yaz.
Yeah, don't use Yaz. Yeah. Oh, so, God. But,
I hadn't heard that. I'm curious how you get injured by using.
Well, it's. I guess it causes blood clots. So, yeah.
God.
But anyways.
This is taking a,
I know it's taking a turn. I'm sorry. But that was my first concern, naming him Yaz. But then, you know, we just call him Yastrzemski Pickhard at home when he's in trouble. So it's. Okay.
Yeah, and so, does he know when he's in trouble when you
knows,
call him that?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I wonder how many other people have had to hold back for a second and pause and wonder if they should name their cat
after a birth control method.
Yeah, well, I mean,
this is our
I
cat Rhythm.
It's, maybe it's like a, I don't know, I'm a woman. Yeah, so,
oh, no.
I don't know. Oh my God. But yeah, so I don't know. That was so we named
my
cat.
My dog,
after him.
Abstinence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, we named him.
Not great
we
names.
Love baseball and. So, yeah, I took a sabermetrics class because I was really into learning about the game, too. So it's something I like to write about, too.
Oh, my gosh, sabermetrics. Oh, yeah? You like to write about it also?
I do like to write. Yeah, I haven't written a story yet this in a while but on baseball, but that is something that I do enjoy writing about a lot. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
in doing the research for this, I did notice that you seem to be doing a lot of late night research around the Cold War.
Yes.
So is that research for maybe a novel that's in the works, or what's going on with that?
So, you know, Matt Bell, he's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful person and wonderful instructor.
Reference the podcast episode number here.
Gosh, I wish I had it on the top of my head.
But Matt, this is my first semester in the MFA program at ASU, and Matt's workshop that he taught this year was on novels. And so each week we were writing 2,500 words a week. And, well, that was redundant. But, yeah, we're writing 2,500 words. We're reading a novel, you know, very contemporary novels. He's also giving us, like, craft essays and stuff. So the point was to write something that was completely new. You know, I had something that was baseball related that I wanted to initially start using for class. But I had an interest in the Cold War, mostly because my dad and my mom, I have a weird history with the Berlin Wall. I was in Germany when the Berlin Wall came down, which is a funny thing to say, you know,
so
I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
I was 2 years old. And so my dad was in the military and things. But so I've been, interested in history in that way. But, the story I'm actually writing is about, the Ukraine, or, the conflict in Ukraine, I should say, that's going on right now. So it's been a lot of research, and it kind of coincides with the narrative that is in the Czech Republic. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of things I don't know, but it's really exciting to, that's one of the things I love about writing too, is being able to research something that you don't know. Like
yeah.
Catherine's story was like a research, you know,
it
like
was,
piece,
yeah.
you know? So
yeah.
it's there's always something to write. So that's what I kind of took from that class.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's yeah. that's what all those late night, you know, a lot of people are morning writers, and I am a late night
all right.
worker. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love to write late at night.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
that is my time.
That's when I operate. So
I'm glad yeah. to hear that. I'm getting a little tired of all these. Yeah. I wake up at the crack of dawn.
I tried so hard.
2 miles and
I
drink a protein shake and then I write. who does that?
Matt Bell.
I know. It is Matt Bell who does that.
I do all of that except for the writing part.
Except for the
I don't then come home and yeah. have a, you know, some cereal and crank out 2,000 words. That part doesn't happen. That happens much later.
Okay. Good. So you mentioned your father. I understand that he knew how to disarm nuclear bombs.
He did. Yes.
Back in the...
Where
yes.
do you find
back in
this
the day?
Stuff?
I
don't know. It's just out there.
I've got some, you know, random facts, I guess, about me on the social media. Yeah, my dad was... he's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And he was stationed in Germany, and it was during the Cold War, so he had to learn how to disarm nuclear bombs. So
would he just like drop that into casual conversation
no,
ever? Just like,
no,
hey, you know, by the way,
no,
I know how to disarm nuclear
no,
bombs.
No.
That'd be pretty cool.
No, my dad. No? Okay. He over the summer I did a little interviews with like my family and stuff like that, just to kind of like hear, you know, I think that family history kind of gets lost, you know what I mean, sometimes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Those kind of narratives. And so my dad has an interesting history because he was born in Vienna, Austria, and didn't become an American citizen until he was 18 and in the military and stuff. So he's, you know, his first language is German, which I'm kind of glad he didn't come tonight because then he'd have to hear me like probably mispronounce German.
Your pronunciations were awesome.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Thought they were great.
Thanks. I get really nervous about reading in front of my dad. I did that once before. So, but yeah, so that's something that he ended up telling me in the little interview that I jumped on him over the summer. So
wow, that's
yeah.
such a cool idea to interview your family.
Yeah,
like
I you know
not
like,
lose that history.
Yeah, so that's, I spent some time with that. I have notebooks. Just you know, it's also like, if I ever wanted to write nonfiction or if I ever wanted to like incorporate, you know, I consider myself more of like a fiction. I love fiction. I love writing fiction. I feel most comfortable there, but also most challenged there. So I'd like to, you know, there's pieces of that in my grandfather's history too that I think could show up in stories, you know what I mean? So kind of
yeah.
taking a little bit from the people I know and love. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. wasn't one of the characters in the story you read tonight born on the day that the Berlin Wall fell?
Yeah. And the son was born on the day the Berlin Wall fell. So yeah. So there's little glimmers of, you know, ourselves and our pieces, I think. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I spotted one in Brian's story that I want to ask him about.
Yeah.
Oh,
lovely.
You'll have to wait for that.
Yeah.
We won't hijack this to talk about whatever you're thinking about.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's not the obvious.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
No, there's...
yeah, no, no.
it also says here that you may have posted a story at one point on a since deleted blog.
Oh God!
A Herbie Hancock story about Miles Davis. Is there anything to that?
No, that's not. I don't think that
that's
was
erroneous
my,
information.
That is erroneous information.
Wow!
Yeah.
I just totally set you up to fail, Robert.
No,
I apologize
no,
for that.
That's not me.
Did you? No, you
no.
didn't.
Have I mentioned that Brian does all of the research?
This is the only
no.
time that has ever happened
no.
in the history of the podcast.
No, I no.
No,
I'm sorry.
That, are you telling me that's a different Kalani Pickhart? Really?
No, it does not sound at all familiar.
Well,
moving on.
There is a detail that I know is correct, and that is that you wanted to dedicate your first published story
yes.
to your friend Cody Conrad.
Yes. I wanted to dedicate this
Tell
to
us
Cody.
About that.
Yeah.
Cody was a person that I did not know super well, but I worked at the Nile Theater in Mesa, so shout out to the Nile. for
That's
like,
never happened before.
Yeah. I worked at that music venue for 2.5 years, and you know, Cody was kind of around, and the head of the music venue there, Michelle, you know, he did a lot of art for Michelle and everything like that. And he was a very talented, artistic, like, wonderful person. You know, he had a great energy, and I don't know the details, you know, honestly, but one summer, you know, he wrote a suicide note and put it on Twitter. And there were a lot of people that happened to be up, you know, and see it. And it was after like a lot of people were starting to like message him and I think call him and things like that. But, you know, he started his own like literary journal, is doing a lot of his own work. It was called New Flesh Press. And I think that he, you know, at the same time, it really hit home for me because I was dealing with a lot of my own mental health concerns. I had crippling anxiety, couldn't leave my house, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And so I just started medication that July. And then in August, Cody had taken his own life. And, as somebody who writes, and I was going through that period in my life where I was choosing, you know, I had a career, you know, I was starting to like work at higher ed and at the university and do a lot of really cool things, but it took a lot of courage to want to write and take beginning fiction classes and things like that and open up my heart in that way. And Cody was always opening up his heart and sharing his work with people, and whether it was painting or screen printing or it was, you know, writing. So it just really resonated with me, like, that at the time that I was coming out of the darkness, he'd kind of gone in it, you know, and losing him was the first person that I'd known who had taken his life. And, so that was just, it was a hard thing. And, but I wanted him to continue to like live on, you know what I mean? And for me, you know, it's mental health it can be such a scary thing because you feel like you're alone. And I think that at the end of the day, Cody must've felt that he was very, very alone. In fact, he had so many people. There was a benefit show after he had passed, you know, and he was doing this benefit where, you could come into the show and you could get in for a few bucks free, like a few bucks off if you had brought in like a library book or a book for a library in like South Phoenix, you know. And so he was a really wonderful person. And so it just, I, you know, when I started this process of choosing art and choosing to live my life this way and coming out of like a really challenging, you know, anxiety, like lifestyle, you know what I mean? It was just, I really wanted to do something for him, you know? So I kind of told myself, you know, like the first thing that I get published, I want it to be for Cody. So thank you for letting me that printed, absolutely. You know? It's
yeah.
So nice.
No,
like,
clearly,
it was our pleasure.
You have come a really long way from where you were in that story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it absolutely shows. Not only did you choose art and commit to it well enough that you're in an MFA program for mm-hmm. one, but are now, you now officially have your first publishing credit.
I know.
And you got up on stage and read that story.
And it was fantastic.
That is not the act you. Of an anxiety filled woman. you are going to go far in
Thank
your
you.
Life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we just could not be more excited and privileged by the opportunity to have been there when that happened for
I'm
you.
I'm really happy to be here. Yeah. I consider myself very lucky. So.
Oh. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, we're very happy that you've chosen the creative life and that this kind of work is a creation from that. And we're looking forward to reading more of your stuff in the future for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for reading your short story at Spillers Number 6. We really appreciate that. And thank you for being a guest on the podcast,
Thank
Kalani.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.